What's up, ComicAttack.net listeners? Welcome back to the Comics Dispatch, your weekly source for comic book news and stuff. My name is Andy.
And I'm Daniel.
And we've got a pretty cool menu for you today. We're going to talk a whole lot of Ultimates. That was kind of like the big deal this week, right, Daniel?
Yeah, a whole lot of Ultimates.
Yeah. Our special guest today is an awesome dude, really good friend of ours at the site. His name is J.K. Woodward, and he does the art for Peter David's Fallen Angel series at IDW, amongst a bunch of other stuff, but more on him later. So yesterday was Free Comic Book Day, and it was a crazy event for Daniel and I. Right, buddy?
Yeah. I think I still have a sandwich that I haven't eaten.
We both work at the comic store, Collector's Paradise, comicsandcards.net, out here in L.A., and they have two stores, one in Pasadena and one in Canoga Park. We each work at a separate store. But tell us about what it was like in Canoga, man. Who was there? How packed it was? What was going on?
Let's see. We had Will Sportaccio, Chris Moreno, Tone Rodriguez, a whole slew of people. I don't think the store ever had less than 100 people in it.
That's awesome.
What about
Tom Coker was there too, right?
Yeah, Tom Coker was there. Trying to think who else was there. Cody Chamberlain, he was over there. Josh Failkov.
Love that guy.
Amazing guy. Really nice.
Hopefully we'll have him on the show at some point. That's a goal. So did you get any sketches?
I did get a sketch. I got a sketch for myself and my fiance Abby.
Who and what?
Tone Rodriguez. It's Deadpool kissing Miss Marvel. I'll have a picture posted sometime soon.
Awesome. And what about for Abby?
It was a joint collaboration. Oh. Miss Marvel's her favorite character, and as everybody knows, Deadpool is mine.
That's awesome. You didn't get one from Wills?
Wills was busy. He was taking so much time on his, and they were coming out amazing. And I'm always a Tone Rodriguez fan, so I really wanted one from him.
Sure. I remember last year at the store we had Mark Silvestri. You can actually check it out, too, if you just search Free Comic Book Day on comicattack.net. I think you'll see some sketches Silvestri did. But, yeah, I remember how packed it was, and I didn't even get a sketch. That's the crappy part about working the event. It's like, aw.
I wanted a sketch, too.
Yeah. But that's awesome, man. Did you read any Free Comic Book Day books yet?
I haven't had time.
Yeah, me neither.
I do know that we have our own limited edition Green Lantern book that I need to read.
We do, with our logo on it, our store logo. We'll sell them to you for $5. Free comic.
Free comic, $5?
Yeah.
That's not a bad deal.
No. It's a variant.
It is a variant.
Yeah, so at our store, we had Len Wein. We had, Mark Sable. We had David Peterson of Mouse Guard. Jim McCann, Return of the Dapper Men, does some Hawkeye Mockingbird stuff. Tess Fowler, who's amazing, an amazing artist who has really no recognition yet, which is shocking, but I think that's going to change soon. Let's see who else we had. Frank Forte of Asylum Press. It was a busy event for us too. I mean, obviously the highlight was Len. We talked about what he thinks of the whole Swamp Thing on Brightest Day. I won't spill the beans on that because we're really trying to get him on the show, which probably will happen. But it was cool. I got some sketches. David Peterson did me an Iceman mouse, which was cool.
Oh, that's probably pretty sick looking.
Yeah, it's awesome. Other than that, I just got more Iceman from people who were there. So,
was JT there?
Oh, yeah, JT, of course. Duh. JT Cruel was there, too. He was sitting right next to me. Gotta love JT. He signed me that Green Arrow. Was it Green Arrow number 7? Was that the white cover?
Yeah, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, dude. And he wrote to Andy, congrats on the new store. Dude, those covers are perfect for getting them signed.
Yeah, I need to have him sign mine whenever he comes back in.
Yeah. I should have gotten the Wonder Girl one and the Teen Titans one done too, but I didn't think of it. The Green Arrow one, though, just looks awesome. That's just an awesome cover.
Yeah, I hope they use that as his logo from now on.
Yeah, right? What was cool, too, is next to JT was Jim McCann, who writes Hawkeye. So they were giving each other some shit, all in good fun. I also didn't read any Free Comic Book Day books, so I don't know if they were good or bad or whatever, but who cares? Did you see Thor?
I did see Thor. I also was very surprised by Thor.
Really? See, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard mostly good things.
There are some dead moments, but it really feels like a Thor. Like, it has that comic book feel to it.
Okay, without spoiling too much, tell us a few things you really liked about it. Like, what are some things that they just nailed?
Hemsworth as Thor. I honestly can't picture anybody else being Thor now.
Okay.
I'll have to say Hiddleston as Loki was a perfect villain, and I love the setup that they had for coming into the Avengers movie.
Nice. How about something you didn't like?
The Warriors 3.
What?
Yeah, they just felt off. And you know how big of a Warriors 3 fan I am.
I know, which is why I was like, what?
So, I mean, they were good, but something just felt off about them. Volstagg wasn't as big as the Blob, for one. That doesn't make sense.
Really?
Yeah. But, I mean, the acting was good, the action was good, but just that one little thing just felt off to me.
Speaking of the Warriors 3, one of Len Wein's favorite stories was the Warriors 3 one he did that's collected in the Marvel Premier Warriors 3 book. I learned that yesterday.
Interesting. We had a lot of calls for Len. Everybody was showing up thinking he was at this store, so you probably got an influx from our store going there.
Nice. So the movie was good?
Yeah, the movie was good. It really set up the Avengers pretty well. A special couple of cameos that were amazing, by the way.
Yeah, don't give those away. I want to experience those.
I'm not giving them away. I'm just saying that they were amazing.
Awesome. I heard Stan Lee's was, like, the best ever.
His was pretty good, but there's somebody else that's even better.
Really?
Yeah.
So you recommend every comic book fan seeing this, or just Marvel fans, or what?
Definitely Marvel fans. I can say that most comic fans would enjoy it, though.
How was Natalie Portman?
Sexy still. you don't know if she's pregnant or not, but she... Yeah. Yeah.
What? You don't know if she's pregnant? What?
She apparently was pregnant during part of the movie, and you couldn't tell.
Oh. Well, it takes a while to show.
I don't know.
Like, bam, I'm pregnant. Look at my baby.
Yeah, I don't know when they were filming, though, is what I'm saying. Like, during what stage of pregnancy.
I follow you. I'm with you. So cool. Oh, speaking of Thor, if you go to our site, comicattack.net, be sure to buy your Thor movie tickets through the Thor ad we have there, because it helps us out. That's all I'm saying. So, okay, on to some news. Basically, the big news this week was what's going to go down in the Ultimate Universe. Holy crap, it's going to get another facelift. It just got one a couple of years ago, maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, and it's about to get an even bigger one really, really soon. So, Daniel, you want to introduce this?
Apparently... they're going to do a ultimatum without an ultimatum, and we're pretty much going to see a Bendis, Hickman, and Spencer team up in July for a whole facelift of the Ultimate Universe, going into further storylines, and we're finally going to get a X-Men ongoing again, and Ultimates ongoing. We're going to get a Hawkeye miniseries. Since he seems to appear in everything else, why not have a miniseries featuring him? And we're going to finally get some answers on Spider-Man.
Yeah, the miniseries that you're likening to Ultimatum is called Ultimate Fallout. And I guess it's going to be taking place after Death of Spider-Man?
It seems like it's going to take place like right after.
Okay, yeah. So, and then out of the Ultimate Fallout is where we get all these new Ultimate books. So let's talk about Ultimate Comics Ultimates first. Going to be written by Jonathan Hickman and drawn by Esad Ribic, which I think is fucking awesome. I love Ribic.
Yeah. Rubik's pretty badass. I enjoy his work.
Yeah, his Uncanny X-Force run I really, really liked. My partner in crime in the Uncanny X-Piles column did not like his run on Uncanny X-Force, but I thought it was great. I don't know. What do you think?
I liked his run. I'm interested to see how he works with Hickman, because we all know, even if Hickman says that he doesn't have a full plot laid out like he did in Fantastic Four and Secret Warriors, you know there's going to be some things that he can't refuse himself from.
Right. It's more like he was saying he's not going to make it like as epic. Like he's got F4 and S.H.I.E.L.D. and did you say Secret Warriors? He's got those planned out like well in advance. And he said for Ultimate Comics Ultimates, he's just got like the first year thought out in his head, which I'm fine with. I don't think Hickman needs to take on another fucking Star Wars galaxy spanning story. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing, with a full rebooted universe, do you think he can deny himself the access that he would have? Like,
what do you mean?
Would have full range to change up how he sees the landscape and how everybody's going to work with it. And with Bendis working and Spencer also working with an open door environment so they can have this really tight structure in the Ultimate Universe again, I'm wondering if he's going to have something like, he's going to throw in like so many like loopholes and plot points and everything.
I mean, he kind of does that. You know, he's a thinking man's writer. So I would hope he did. I would hope he would. You know, I just don't think it needs to be as... I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. is friggin' epic, man. Like, you read S.H.I.E.L.D. and there is just like layer upon layer upon layer. I don't even think I still got all of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I still loved it. But I'm just like, man, I know there's some stuff there that just went over my head. And his F4 run is just great. Like, again, it's like he's... The story he first opened up Fantastic Four with, he's going back to now in the next story arc. You know, I just think he's saying, I'm not going to be doing that with Ultimate Comics Ultimates. It's just going to be, you know, what you see is what you get kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right?
I could definitely see that.
Yeah, the team he's already announced that will be on the book is Nick Fury, Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, and Spider-Woman. What do you think about that cast? Who else do you want to see?
I want to see Hank Pym. Well, I guess he's dead. Let's see. What about the Wasp? Last time we see her, is she's gotten her guts stripped out of her by the Blob, and then Pym delivers her to wherever, the Triskelion, and says, get her to Project Jocasta. Maybe that's going to be a big thing. There's so many plot points left open from Ultimatum that I'm hoping that the Ultimate Universe really clears up some of these and gets some of their cast back together.
Like, who else do you want to see, though? Who that is, like, prominently alive? Like, do you want to see on this team?
I'd like to see, the Fantastic Four don't exist, so maybe put on some of the Fantastic Four there. Maybe sure. Iceman. I mean, who knows what's going on with the Spider-Man line, if he's going to stick in there or if he's going to the X-Men. But, I mean, there's so many different things. Rick Jones, he's a big player now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a mutant,
is he a
though,
mutant?
Right?
Because he got his powers from the Celestial Beings or whatever.
Oh, that's right. That's right, from Ultimate Origins, right? Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'd like to see them develop some of these characters that they brought in that, you know, kind of have a missing thing going on that you really want to see. Maybe we can finally see Miss Marvel. Who knows?
Yeah, right. Well, honestly, like, I don't really care who's on this team. I'm not, like, an Avengers diehard. I read the Avengers. I enjoy the Avengers. But I'm not like, man, I need to see this guy on the Avengers. So basically, whatever Hickman throws at me, I'm ready to eat it in a good way. So let's talk about Ultimate X-Men. This one will be written by Nick Spencer with art by Paco Medina, and this one starts in September. That's fucking cool. I'm curious as to how long Paco will stay on the book, but even if it's... I hope it's at least 12 issues. So, I mean, since he's written Morning Glories, he's got a good handle on kids' books, so I think he's got a chance to excel here. And I'm interested to see where he's going to take these characters. We already know it's going to feature Jean Grey with her new identity, apparently. Kitty Pryde, you mentioned Iceman, but he's going to be in this book. Johnny Storm will be in this book, which is interesting. Rogue and Jimmy Hudson. Who is that?
That is the son of Wolverine. I guess this ultimate version's version of Dacon or Dayton.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
I have a question about their cast. What happened to Firestar or Angel that's a gargoyle or whatever?
Maybe they die in Ultimate X. Or maybe they die in Ultimate Fallout. What about the Blob? They didn't mention the Blob. Well, it also says with other heroes that will be appearing. So, I mean, they're not going to just reveal everybody.
Well, Blob, or the son of Blob, is joined the Brotherhood in the last issue of Ultimate X.
Right, but I mean, will they appear in this book? Like, they didn't mention
this is for the core cast. I'm sure that they'll have... They don't want to announce all the villains.
Sure. Nick Spencer did come out and say, though, that this book will star Rogue and Kitty. Honestly, I don't remember jack shit about Ultimate Rogue. Do you remember anything about her?
No. She was a very unmemorable character, unlike Kitty, who has been fantastic in Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oh, I don't disagree. Speaking of, like, and I was going to touch on this when we picked up on the Spider-Man topic, but since we already brought it up, I'm a little sad that that run is already over. Like, with Johnny Storm, Iceman, Shadowcat, all in the Spider-Man book, I thought that worked really, really well.
Yeah, it just seemed like everything in that book was going really awesome. Everything was going smoothly. I was really disappointed to hear that they're just changing that entire environment up.
Yeah, and I wanted to see more of Spider-Man and his amazing friends, because that's such a great concept that you have, you know, Johnny Storm, you have Iceman, and you have Spider-Man teaming up together in New York City, you know, fighting the bad guys, but then never really peaked, right? Like that idea.
Yeah, it kind of happens, and you get like that lead in, like with the Chameleon Saga and everything, like, all right, let's see what happens, or the Rick Jones era, and then it just kind of like, okay, now we're going back to high school.
Yeah, I wanted to see them kick more ass together, but that's okay. Again, I trust Bendis. I'm sure he knows what he's doing, I hope. So, yeah, Ultimate X-Men. Sounds good. Paco Medina on art, fucking amazing. New X-Men run back in the day with Chris Yost and Craig Kyle. He's done a bunch of others. He did the first Curse of the Mutants storyline in X-Men. I think he's the right artist for this. All right, so Daniel, tell us about Ultimate Hawkeye.
Essentially, all the Ultimates are on their own separate missions, and Ultimate Hawkeye is written by Jonathan Hickman, so it's probably going to be fairly similar to his Ultimate Thor and giving you a whole lot more backstory. Basically, what we're going to get going is we're going to get a full Hawkeye story. He's always appearing in the Ultimates and the Avengers. We're going to finally get into his head, why the hell he's doing everything. Nobody's really touched on a good Hawkeye story in the Ultimate Universe. I mean, we see that his wife and kids get killed in, Ultimates 2?
Okay. I haven't read Ultimates 2,
and that really puts him on this really dark and twisted path where he's more of a daredevil now. He puts his whole life on the line. He doesn't care. He has nothing to lose. You see it in Ultimatum. I don't know if you remember that part where I guess him and Pym are having like a heart-to-heart and everything. So basically a whole lot of guest appearances, and you're going to get a full scope of Hawkeye. He's going to get out of that purple suit, which I don't know how I feel about that. I liked his purple suit, and it's going to almost be like a Arsenal-looking suit. Is what everything's appearing to be.
Ultimate Arsenal. I think I like how badass Hawkeye is, Ultimate Hawkeye. I like how he's got an attitude. He doesn't like authority. He does whatever the hell he wants without asking. I like that. It's very like, 80s Wolverine, Again, Jonathan Hickman doing a friggin' awesome action story. I'm all for it. Yeah, you mentioned guest stars. Bruce Banner will be in as Hulk. Jean Grey.
Karen Grant. Jean Grey. Isn't that her new alter ego? Huh?
Oh, maybe it said Jean Grey as Karen Grant, and I just didn't remember. How the hell am I? How are we expected to remember this when Ultimate X never comes out?
Well, I think they're going to be fixing that. From what I was reading, some of these books are going to have double releases in each month.
Yeah, like they said, it's not just going to be monthly, but sometimes multiple times in the month. Yeah. All right, so Ultimate Hawkeye. Last up on this list is Ultimate Spider-Man. This one will be written by Brian Michael Bendis, of course, with art by Sarah Pacelli. The numbering is going to start over with Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number one. I don't get that, but whatever. And it's going to star a new Spider-Man. Basically, Bendis is really calling it emotional. It's going to be emotional. So what are your thoughts on this?
Peter Parker isn't Spider-Man. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, they've done it in the 616 where they've had like other heroes stand in for him. But I don't know. I can't really get a full grasp on this. Bendis has done amazing work. If he says that he can get it done, then you got to believe him. He can get it done. I'm more interested to see the fallout with Spidey supporting cast with like Aunt May, Mary Jane, and Gwen. We mentioned and Iceman and Torch, but we already know what's going on with them. But I like the little lead-in that people were speculating, is Gwen actually Miss Marvel? Because according to that t-shirt, she looks like she has on the lightning bolt on her chest.
She doesn't have powers, though. Who knows? So how is she going to get powers?
It's the Ultimate Universe. They can do it however they want. And, I mean, that's why we enjoy the Ultimate Universe, is because it's a completely different thing. And, I mean, given everything that Gwen's been through, has her life not been similar to Peter's? Wouldn't she go searching for a way to help?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's cool. Like, that's one thing, like you were saying, like, that's one thing I love about the Ultimate Universe, is they do throw you for a loop. Like, they do things with characters they could never do otherwise, and I'd be cool with that. Dude, Gwen Stacy wants to be Miss Marvel. I'm all for it. She's blonde.
Yeah, like I said, I like to see where everything's going. There's so many different things that they can throw in the Spider-Man universe, even without Peter. Or whoever is the new Spider-Man. Maybe it's an homage to Spidey. Who knows?
Speaking of, come on, who do you really think it's
going
to be?
I'm going with Rick Jones.
Who could be the new Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Rick Jones.
Yeah? Man, I really don't know. Like, every person I think of, I'm like, no, can't be them. No, can't be them. I mean, because he's swinging on spider webs.
It could be spider webs, it could be rope, who knows?
And the preview image?
Who knows?
Rope.
I mean, Spider-Girl does the grappling hook.
That's true. I think that's stupid, by the way. There's no way you can do rope or grappling hook fast enough to leap from building to building. How the hell do you get it off the thing you're grappling to?
There's a button to release
the hooks. But it hooks onto something. Okay, then what are you hanging on when you let it go? And what if you swing by a building that has nothing to grapple onto? Then what?
Well, I mean, the whole point about the web is that it sticks. On top of the building in that one issue of X Factor.
A cloud. All right, so Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, I'm looking forward to it. I wish they didn't have to start over with the numbering, but it makes sense, I guess, because all new direction, all new character. But it's just silly because they just went back to the main numbering. Whatever. Who gives a shit, really? I guess it really doesn't matter. One thing that is interesting to note, though, in this entire Ultimate reboot is no Mark Millar.
That is kind of interesting. I'm wondering why they decided to do that.
I understand you want to give new blood, you know, to the universe. So no Mark Millar. All right. So Ultimate Comics, all this stuff goes down. When does it all start?
Ultimate Fallout starts in July.
Okay, there you go. So all this stuff should be going down later this year. All right, so moving on. Let's look at Scott Snyder. This is kind of cool. We both love Scott Snyder's American Vampire and Detective Comics run. I'm really looking forward to his new Bat book, Gates of Gotham. That's what it's called, right? Gates of Gotham?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. I think it's a six-issue miniseries.
Right. So, but this is a new creator-owned work by Scott Snyder, and it's called Severed. It's going to be published by Image, which I think is a good move for him, since that creator-owned wave is just going insane right now over at that company. It's going to be co-written by Scott Tuft and New York Times And the art is by New York Times bestselling artist Attila Futaki. I don't know if I said that name right. I apologize. I probably didn't. Yeah, so this series, Severed, is going to debut this August, and it's a character-driven horror script that uses like elements of like past history to tell a story that is what they're calling fresh, new, and really relevant to today. Here's the brief solicit info. It's set in 1916. It follows this character, Jack Garin, who is an idealistic 12-year-old, and he's taken to the road in search of his father, who is a wayward minstrel. And along the way, he meets this mysterious, charismatic, creepy salesman who, I guess, feeds on the innocent. And Jack, the little boy, he soon finds out that out on the roads and rails of the early 20th century America, nothing is wasted. Sounds pretty nasty. All the art is painted. To quote Scott Snyder, he says, "This story digs deep into the American psyche, exploring a time when a vast network of rail-supported societies, where the rail supported a society of vagabonds, and when the automobile made even the darkest corners of the country accessible to everyone. Tattooed traveling salesmen, black-faced minstrel men, cross-dressing tramps, Severed is filled with unexpected characters and tells a story that is not only uniquely American, but certainly one out of the scariest things I have ever written." Certainly one of the scariest things I've ever written. You know, I always used to say I'm not a huge horror fan, but as like time goes by, I kind of am realizing maybe I am a horror fan. I like psychological horror. I don't like, you know, stupid monsters running around. Blah, horror, blah, I'm going to slash you in your dreams. I'm Jason and Freddy, blah. That shit doesn't scare me. That's just stupid. But psychological horror, which is what this sounds like it is, kind of set in more like a real world setting. Like American Vampire, I love it. I loved Echoes by Josh Fialkov. I would consider that horror. But again, definitely, that's more psychological horror, right? Yeah. Which is what Severed kind of sounds like. Interesting that he's using minstrel men. For those people who don't know what minstrel men are, they're basically actors, white actors, who would paint themselves up in black paint and portray a black man in the early days of the theater. We're talking like late 1800s, mid 1800s, up to the early, like, I want to say it went up to like the 1920s. Eventually, it became illegal. It's illegal now. Like, you can't do it for obvious reasons. I mean, it's fucking insulting. But, I mean, if you Google minstrel men, I mean, the pictures that come up are fucking creepy. So, I mean, the fact that, I mean, these are kind of like the focus of the book, like, it's creepy.
The whole idea of it is really creepy. I think it all went all the way up until the 1930s, though. I think the Depression was the last time you really saw it.
The 30s? Okay. Sure.
But yeah, that whole thing just, I don't know. I don't know what the book's entirely about, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
You're going to pick it up though, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. It's interesting too that it's co-written.
Maybe this is one that, you know, Snyder had been talking to this guy about, and maybe they wanted to get something, a collaboration going.
I'm cool with that. I mean, I think he did that with Stephen King. I mean, granted, you know, they were writing two separate stories in the first installment of American Vampire, but I thought those two stories played really well off each other to kick that book off. So, cool. So check it out. Severed comes out in August. Keep your eye out for it. Published by Image. Looks to be awesome. All right.
Gotham City Sirens is about to get really tense. Following the crossover Judgment of Gotham, Ivy and Catwoman were supposed to be stopping Harley from releasing the Joker in Arkham. And basically at the end of Judgment, or during their part in Judgment, Catwoman just bounces. She's like, screw you guys, I'm out of here. I gotta go do this. It's more important. So now we have Ivy just trying to stop Harley from releasing the Joker. Who knows why she wants to release the Joker. What we're going to see is a whole new direction for the book. You're going to get more interpersonal relationships. Bruce Wayne is coming in during this story arc. Hell hath no fury or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Can you tell us a little bit about what went down in that Judgment of Gotham thing with Azrael? That basically where Catwoman had to split, where she's basically, well, here, I haven't read that issue, but I read the issues before. And the reason why Harley was breaking out Joker was because she did want to kill him. Like, her whole motive was like, I'm sick of this guy. He treats me awful. Like, I want to kill him. So she breaks into Arkham. She gets to his cell to kill him. And then she falls for him again. Is basically what happens, because she's batshit insane. So it makes sense. So I think what's going down here is maybe Ivy is like, hey, Harley, don't do this. Don't go down that road again. And she's about to. And then tell us like, what went down with Catwoman, because, like, why she split.
Pretty much Dick Grayson needed her help in trying to save Gotham. And she was kind of adamant about helping him, but she knew that this is what Bruce would want. So she splits, and at the very end, she finds out a revelation that her sister's back. So I can't even, to my knowledge, remember her sister. Maybe this is a new character. I can't tell you.
I don't know if she appeared before this, but they did a storyline about her in the early Gotham City Sirens run. And honestly, I think it was like around issue like 10, 11.
But and I didn't think it was that good. But her sister is suicidal. She says, I can't stand to live like this. Either you end me or I end myself. And Catwoman's left with the decision to make. She ends up making the more righteous decision, and she helps her.
Okay. So, I mean, so basically for Ivy, this is probably going to come down to you bailed on me to go help out
Batman.
Yeah, and
we're going to see, like, all the different... It was kind of interesting. I was reading the article, and you find out that, I guess, Harley's been using trump cards to get through Arkham.
Yeah, that's what happened in those storyline leading up to it. Basically, in order to break in, she had dirt on every single person she needed to get through
and
in order to get to Joker. It was really cool.
Bruce is Catwoman's trump card, and we're going to find out what Ivy's trump card is, and there's going to be an epic battle between Bruce and Catwoman against Harley and Joker in this, and I guess Ivy's going to be the Mills Lane refereeing this thing. I have no idea.
That actually sounds good. I mean, I think this series is hit or miss. I think there are storylines that have been really good and then storylines that have been pretty forgettable. So if Peter Calloway is taking this direction, I think there's something more to this book now that there's this, you know, division between the three major players in Catwoman, Ivy, and Harley, as opposed to just the three of them running around being like, blah, we're kind of anti-heroes, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that worked really well with them. We have that book already. It's called Birds of Prey.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to get a direction with them. They
you know
are
what I mean?
Anti-heroes. Well, I will say Catwoman is definitely an anti-hero. Ivy is hit or miss. I mean,
sure.
She can be, but at the same time, don't cross her. And Harley, who the hell knows where she's at? But I'm hoping to get like some sort of introscope with these characters and get them like centralized again.
Yeah, honestly, like I was kind of deflated on this book, and this kind of has me looking forward to it again. I want to see how this plays out. And that's cool. Like, the storyline before this one was all about, you know, basically, like, all these women have been prying Selina because they know that Selina knows who Batman is. And Talia al Ghul basically shows up to protect that information, to basically help Selina, and Zatanna aids in this as well, so that, you know, they don't give away... so that Selina doesn't give away that, you know, Batman's identity, which makes sense. You know, it is a liability that Catwoman's out there knowing who Batman is.
Yeah, and
you know, considering the circle she runs.
I'm interested to see that, because...
Right on. All right, so let's move on. Nick Spencer, his name keeps coming up. He's doing the Cloak and Dagger miniseries, which is coming out... Let me see, when is this coming out? Not exactly sure. I think it's sometime this summer. But it's a three-issue miniseries, and the art is going to be by Emma Rios. And basically, we finally got, you know, a little more information on what this mini is going to be about. As we all know, Cloak and Dagger, they got their powers by being experimented on by a criminal organization. So basically, Spencer's focus in this mini is to bring these two characters back to the street-level corner of the Marvel Universe. And it's going to tie into the Spider Island storyline that's going to go on in Amazing Spider-Man at the same time, which is, in a sentence, basically Manhattan is going to be infected by spider-powered people. Nick Spencer's focus is to really reestablish Cloak and Dagger in the street-level Marvel universe, so along the lines of, like, Power Man and Iron Fist, we've got Heroes for Hire, Amazing Spider-Man, Punisher, so in that corner of the Marvel U, which is okay. It's all right. But, I mean, he's going to be tying in elements from Maximum Carnage when these two characters really kind of got the spotlight, which was basically, like, really the last time they ever got the spotlight. They were in Dark X-Men, but I don't know why they were really there. But he says he wants to, it's going to be kind of like a love story between these two. But it's like basically the way he described it was, finally the two realize that they love each other, but nothing's hunky-dory. Like, shit's about to hit the fan. So it's going to be, you know, stressing out the relationship. Can any superheroes have a relationship where they love each other and just it's just
I'm
like,
sure
okay,
can
that ever happen? I mean, I guess it's kind of akin to real life. Like, how often does that really happen too? But at the same time, like, aside from Reed and Sue, is there any superhero couple that is, like,
Ollie
together?
And Black Canary split up.
You had, I guess you could say Emma and Cyclops. Dip. Even then, I mean, their relationship, it's not really, I mean, it is, but it's not really written like, oh, I love you. Oh, you're my woman. You're my man. It's not, it's nothing like Jean Grey and Cyclops, right? I mean, I like the relationship. Don't get me wrong, but it's
Luke
almost
Cage
like a
Jewel.
Convenient business relationship than anything else. Oh, there you go. There you go.
I guess
Touché.
You could say
that's
Cap
a good
and
one.
Sharon Carter. I don't know if you really consider a superpowered.
No, I think you're right, but at the same time, like, again, like, they're not really written as a couple. Like, how many Sharon Carter Cap
Storm
stories
and
have we
Panther?
Got? Maybe the opening story arc of Secret Avengers.
Oh.
Yeah, but remember the first issue of Black Panther? He's like, I need some time away from you.
Maybe he just needed that time to reflect on everything that he did and do more.
Okay, but they've been married for, what, 4 years? And the characters have been around since the 70s or earlier? Like, that's what I mean. Like, the characters have been around for 3-4 decades, but they've
okay,
had a
what
relationship
about the Hulk
for 4 years.
And,
like, there's nothing that's long-standing.
All his wives.
I don't know. I guess I just – I would love to see honestly, I think it's because I don't think writers – I think writers are afraid to tackle that corner, to tackle a good team book where it's a husband and wife. I mean, Hawkeye Mockingbird, it started that way, and then Jim McCann got away from it, and they broke up. Like, I think writers are just maybe not afraid, but maybe there's just not as much to do there. Like, it's harder to write a story where the couple gets together and everything's going well and they're just kicking ass, as opposed to, oh, we're conflicted, things aren't working out.
I don't know.
I'm
going to read the Spider-Island storyline. I'll probably pick up this book. I don't know if you've seen the picture, but all the different heroes in the spider costumes, pretty funny.
Really? Like, who do they have?
They have Spider Panther, Spider Hulk, Spider Cage, Spider Thing. Spider Woman's dressed up like the Scarlet Spider. They got Spider Cap, who's in, like, the neon suit from the most recent Spider storyline.
Honestly, that sounds fucking stupid to me, but whatever. I'll read it. I don't know. I just don't want Nick Spencer to get spread too thin. Like, I feel like this happens too much in comics. Like, a guy gets hot and then they give him 80 million projects, and then it's like a lot of them are just okay. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Okay, so let's do some quick hits. Starting with DC Retroactive. DC Retroactive has announced what's basically DC Retroactive is a series of one-shots that's going to be coming out soon, where their most iconic characters are going to be given one-shot stories passing through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and they're going to have the classic creative teams on those books who worked on those characters in those decades doing one-shot stories, fresh new one-shot stories, tying up a loose end that, you know, they kind of left dangling. And then attached to that book is going to be a reprint of a story handpicked by that creative team. And basically they've announced the 90s line. So we have our creative teams announced for the 90s line. So we've got a DC Retroactive, Justice League of America, the 90s, going to be written by Keith Giffen and J.M.D. Mateus with art by Kevin McGuire. So that's going to be a JLA story. Then we've got DC Retroactive Batman, written by Alan Grant with art by Norm Breifogel. Man, I'm going to butcher some of these names. The story will spin directly off of Detective number 613. The Flash will be a Wally West story and written by Brian Augustin with art by Mike Bowden. Green Lantern will be written by Ron Mars and Darryl Banks, obviously a Kyle Rayner story. The Wonder Woman, 90s Wonder Woman, will be written by William Messner Loebs with art by Paris Collins. And the Superman book will be written by Louise Simonson with art by Joe Bogdanovi. Man, I am butchering these names. I'm sorry. I was a little kid in the 90s. I don't think I read any of these. How about you?
Read it in trade, but the single issues I can't really remember that well. I mean, I was so young.
Yeah, right? At the very least, I mean, in the 90s, I was 6 to, like, you know, 16. So there you go. DC Retroactive. Sounds kind of cool. I think it's a cool idea. I like the concept of taking these original creators and then, you know, giving them a chance to kind of wrap something up that they started. And I like that it's only a one-shot, whereas, you know, this is a similar formula. We've been exposed to this already with X-Men Forever, where Chris Claremont was given free rein to, you know, basically take the X-Men after issue 3 when he left the book and, you know, take it in the direction he wanted to. And man, that was fucking god-awful. It was terrible. So I think it's a good formula that these writers are just given a one-shot to kind of do this in. I think that's the right move. They got to keep it concise. They got to keep it tight and, you know, cut to the chase. And I think that's a good idea. And, like, the fact that they're going to be reprinting the story that this is related to will be, you know, more adaptable for new readers. You want to talk Birds of Prey?
Let's see. Mark Andreyko and Billy Tushy. I'm sorry if I butchered those names. But it's going back to World War II this July. In a two-issue fill-in story, it's going to feature the Phantom Lady and Lady Blackhawk. I don't really know much about the Phantom Lady. I know that she was a character that was introduced in the 40s. Apparently kicked a whole lot of ass and gave way to essentially all the kind of new hero, feminine heroes that came about in the 60s.
Manhunter's going to be in it.
I don't know if Manhunter's going to be in it.
Too, right?
Andreyko is known for his Manhunter work, so I guess it's possible. So this is another one of those cross-gen type things. Mm-hmm. Or cross-brand type things. Not cross-gen the company, but cross-gen as in cross-branded type things. I think I did.
Did you just develop a new term,
I think we should start
Daniel?
Using that. Maybe we'll trademark it or something.
I like it. I like that.
Comic Ned came up with this.
Manhunter's going to be in it. I think this is cool. I'm always down for a World War II story. I think this is a good,
it's okay.
good way. Are you reading Birds of Prey?
I don't think it's found its niche yet.
Okay. Right. I mean, it seems like Brightest Day just kind of, you know, wedged certain characters into certain books. But, I mean, I'm always for a World War II story. I think this is a good way for Gail Simone to take a two-issue break. I mean, the woman's brilliant. I love her stuff. But this series has been kind of, again, like another one that's just been kind of treading water. Like, what the hell's going on in this book? It seems kind of unfocused. And maybe this will be a chance to kind of, like, you know, come back to the drawing table and, you know, drawing board and give us something a little more focused when we come out of it. So I'll check it out. Lady Blackhawk's okay. I've never been a huge fan of hers. But, like I said, World War II story, I dig it. All right, so there's that. And let's talk about some Com.X real quick. Blue Spear is the new miniseries that's spinning out of Andy Ewington's 4545. Com.X is a publisher located in England. That's where they're based out of. And they do some really fucking amazing indie stuff. I highly recommend checking out their archive on comicattack.net. We've covered a lot of their books. One of my favorites is Class War. But definitely their best so far is 4545, done by Andy Ewington. And basically what was cool about that book was it's a narrative, number one, but it's 45 different interviews. Basically the gist is a father, he's having a child, and it's in a world where superheroes exist, and he's not sure if his child is going to be born with a superhero gene. So what he does is he interviews 45 different superpowered people. Some are good, some are bad, some are just weird. And basically he just gets an idea of what their life is like so he can have a better understanding in raising his child if it is born with the superhero gene. Now, out of this book, what's cool too is each story was illustrated by a different artist. So you got 45 different one-shot stories, 45 different artists working on the book, hence the title 4545. Now, this story, Blue Spear, is one of those stories in 45, and now it's getting its own series. The general gist on Blue Spear, a young boy who received superpowers while on a fishing trip, and these powers led him on a journey that resulted in him becoming the de facto guardian for the Japanese city of Tokyo. So he's kind of like that city's Batman, and now he's getting his own book. I think it sounds awesome. Again, check out our com.x archive. We have preview pages of Blue Spear up on the site. Really give it a look when it comes out, because this is one of those indie books that, you know, probably will fall off the radar for a lot of people, because, you know, Image will overshadow it, you know, all the other kind of major indie companies. But 4545 was an excellent read, and com.x is an excellent company. Definitely put this one on your radar. It comes out July 22nd.
Aspen has entered the summer event game with a, I guess you could say, a mini event featuring its executive assistant series. It goes through executive assistant Iris, Orchid, Lotus, and Violet. We don't really know much other than what's going down with these characters. Like, Violet has mommy issues, which seems all too common in Aspen books at the moment. But you gotta love Aspen for their prominent role in starring feminine heroes.
Have you read Executive Assistant Iris?
I have not. I've been told to read it.
Yeah, I haven't either, but Infinite Speech, he has covered almost every single issue. I think he has covered every single issue. So, again, if you want to read reviews on that book, you can just search it on our site, Executive Assistant Iris, comictac.net, and you'll see the reviews. But he speaks very highly of it. My fiance, she loves that book. I mean, what I think is cool about it, again, I haven't read it, but just based on what I know and what I've heard from people, is that it's rooted in reality. David Wall, the writer of the series, got the idea for Executive Assistant Iris after reading a newspaper article about these women over in Japan who are raised from childhood to be crime lords, personal assassins, and bodyguards. And that's what this story is about. So the fact that they're expanding the universe, I like it. I mean, it's one of Aspen's most successful books, so it only makes sense. And you know, good for Aspen, man. I like to see this company expand. I mean, Kara's Magic has been good. I like J.T. Krule's Mindfield. Obviously, Lady Mechanica's fucking phenomenal. Like, good for them. Like, it's about time this company, you know, broke the mold a little bit. Like, yeah, they've always had Fathom and Soulfire, but the problem with those books, I think, is those books have already found their fan base. I'm not sure if, you know, you're going to get new Fathom or Soulfire readers anytime soon. So this is a good way for them to kind of expand their readership a little bit and giving them something new to jump onto. So good for Aspen. We have a good relationship. All right, so we are now joined by our special guest for this week, artist J.K. Woodward, who's an awesome dude. He's a good friend of ours here at comicattack.net. And J.K. has got some new stuff coming out from Arkea. I know you can't talk a lot about it, J.K., but what can you tease us with?
Well, it's I'm doing just a piece of a graphic novel. I'm doing the end scene. They decided that they wanted something painted for the end scene. It's sort of a transitional part of the story, so they wanted a different style. And the book actually has four other artists, so it's kind of in each chapter of the book, there's a reason for it. I can't say much more than that. But I'm doing the last 20 pages, and it's coming out in graphic novel. It's not coming out in floppies. It's coming out all in one, and it's called Everlast.
Everlast.
Yep. It's kind of it's a science fiction adventure story. I don't know if science fiction is the right word, but it's a science fiction story with a sort of allegory to an ascension to heaven or living in hell, depending on your perspective of it. But when it's in previews, we can talk more about that. And I haven't heard yet. Go ahead.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, you mentioned like they wanted painted pages for, you know, a different kind of feel for the book. I mean, that is your style. So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your style, man. Like, it's so unique. I love it. Obviously, if they want to check out on our site, we did a gallery of yours where you picked some of your favorite pieces to display. So if you just search J.K. Woodward, it'll probably come up. But I mean, tell us a little bit about your style, man. Like, what goes down on your work?
Well, I use mostly ink and gouache watercolor. And I usually do like rough pencils. I mean, my pencils are horrendous. I could never work with an inker. and then, you know, I go right to painting. And I usually start, what I've been doing lately is putting down, for my blacks, putting down it in waterproof ink first so that the blacks stay, it keeps more contrast. It keeps it very, the shadows very dark. Then I start going over in different shades with the gouache, the watercolor. And it comes out with not as photorealistic as, say, somebody like Alex Roscoe's, but it's kind of in that vein. But I try to keep it a little bit more impressionistic. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do a realistic painting style that's, it doesn't appear so stiff. You know, so I've been playing with it for a while. I think I'm coming pretty close.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I love your stuff, dude. Like, thanks. Seriously, it's great. So tell us about some of your other projects you have going on, besides the Archaea one that's coming out soon.
Okay, I'm working with Peter David on something besides Fallen Angel. He's starting, basically he's selling internet novels. He's selling his novels direct from creator to fan, is what he's doing. It's an experiment, but I'm doing covers for that project. And he's got a book that's coming out. And I'll, if you follow me on Twitter and stuff, I'll talk more about it when it's ready. But it's called The Camelot Papers, and it's kind of a look at that Camelot. It's kind of a look at that legend. But it almost, the characters are written in such a way that, you know, it's George Bush and Condoleezza Rice and Clinton, you know, basically kind of the idea that the more things change, the more they stay the same. Like, we're reliving the same history ever since the dawn of time. This is nothing new. It actually opens with a historian's paper about him discovering the long lost journals of the main character, and it's told from her point of view. And it's just like an interesting new look at Camelot. I read the first couple of chapters, and it's Peter David. It's hilarious.
Yeah, right. So you're just doing the covers for that, like of the individual novels?
Yeah, it's novels. It's prose. It's not graphic novels. So yeah, I'll just be doing covers. I'm actually gonna have something done next week. So at that time, I'll find out when it's coming out. I have a feeling it's at least a month or so away before this happens. So
How many books are there?
There's just one right now, and I'm gonna hear more after that. So he's gonna start with the one. I get who else is with him on this, but it's him and someone else doing this. But yeah, as I hear more, I'll tell you more. But right now, it's just the Camelot Papers. So when that comes out, do yourself a favor and check it out. It's really funny. I got a preview look at it.
Awesome. Any other stuff you're working on?
Yeah. I'm working with Jesse Blaze Snyder. He's been writing for Boom stuff. He did a Hulk story a while back. And we're doing something for Double Feature. And I don't know if you've seen this site yet, but it's something Mike Norton put together. And they actually wrote an app for your iPad. And what it is you get these 2 8-page comics for 99 cents. But the app, the way it's set up, is you got 4 buttons. So you can see the book finished and lettered, but you can see it colored, you can see it just inked, and you can see it penciled. So if you're a process nut, this is a great app to have, and this is a great thing to read. You can also get it as just PDFs if you don't have an iPad. But me and Jesse Blaze are doing a story called I Kill Dead People, about sort of a action exorcist, so to speak.
That's a great title.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. So obviously you mentioned Fallen Angel with Peter David. So yes. Tell us a little bit about that book. Like, how did the latest mini do?
Pretty good, I think. I haven't checked the numbers. I don't check the numbers until after the trade comes out. I don't want to get disheartened if it's bad. I don't read reviews, and I don't look at the numbers until later. You know, I want to keep my focus on the creation. But there's the last miniseries is called Return of the Sun, and 3 issues are already out, and issue 4 comes out Wednesday. I don't know when this airs. But
this will air on Tuesday, so if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it comes out tomorrow.
So tomorrow. But I've been having lots of fun with this. In addition, it's a great script, and I don't want to spoil it too much. So that some big changes happen. Let's say that. If you haven't read Fallen Angel before, you can jump in on this mini. In fact, that's how Peter kind of designs the minis. And that's why we're doing it that way, so we don't. Sometimes people get disheartened, like maybe I wish I had jumped on a long time ago. Well, you don't really have to. It's it's much more interesting if you do, but it's a story you can follow. But we had a lot of fun with this. I did a lot of I don't know if you saw it on Facebook or Twitter or anything, or on my blog, but I've been putting friends of mine in the book. You know, whenever there's a crowd scene or something. And last issue 3, I had Cody Chamberlain, the creator of Sweets. He was in one of the panels as a drunk walking down the street. And I had Chris Robertson was also in it, the writer. And Lou Anders, editor friend of mine. And in this issue, I'm going to have the gang from a comic podcast called Pete's Basement. And Amber Love is in it. So there's a bunch of cameos that if you go to my blog, you can actually see pictures of the people and then what they look like in the comic.
That's great, man. That's hilarious. You mentioned Cody Chamberlain. We actually had him at our store for Free Comic Book Day yesterday.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so speaking of Free Comic Book Day, how did it go for you, man?
Good. I went to I did a signing at a store in New Jersey. I get the town. Somewhere in the state of New Jersey. It's called Comic Fusion. Had a great time. There was like 6 customers there, so it was like this big party atmosphere, and they're all out on the sidewalk dragging people in. I'm stuck inside sketching all day, but I was having a blast. It was a good time.
What did you sketch?
Let's see. Well, I wanted to keep it free in the spirit of Free Comic Book Day, so I was just doing headshots, but I did so many of them. Let's see. I did all the classics you think of. I did, the Batman's, Superman's, Spider-Man's. I did a Space Ghost. That was fun. A Golden Age Flash. That was cool. I can't tell you now.
Like, it all blended together. I don't even know.
There was a lot of them I did. The things only take a couple minutes because they're headshots. So it was just, I was constantly drawing all day.
Right.
I think I must have done everything.
It's awesome, dude.
I did a bar season.
Do you have prints ready yet?
Prints what?
Prints of your work.
Oh yeah. I did when I went to Super Show and originally when we did the thing on Comic Attack, I was going to use that data because I wanted to see which of those paintings people liked the most, and those were going to be the prints I made because I only have a certain amount of money to invest in that. I never got around to it, so I tried an experiment for Comic Geek Speak Super Show, which I went to a couple weeks ago. And what I did is I went on their blog and said, I said, go to Comic Attack, go to that same thing and look at the paintings and tell me which one you want, and I'll have it set, printed up for you. So it's like just basically taking pre-orders, kind of direct market for prints.
Sure.
It worked out pretty well, but I want to get, these are digital prints. I'd like to get higher quality print runs made for cheaper. One day, I just don't know which one of those to do.
Which ones are the most popular?
It seemed to be a tie between the Batman RoboCop and the Star Trek Star Wars. With I think Batman Beyond Space Ghost in close third place. You're gonna have to put these pictures on the site or something. So now that we've talked about it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, like I said, if you just search J.K. Woodward, it'll pop up, and you can see the whole gallery. My favorite is Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, obviously.
Did I send you the file for that?
You did. I still have to get around to printing it, but
yeah, you hang that in your store, dude.
That what?
I said you're gonna hang that in your store somewhere,
dude. Absolutely, man. It looks amazing. Seriously, like I keep saying this, and I say this over and over again, but I want to see you do an Iceman story.
Oh, I'd love to. I love painting that character, too.
Yeah, because especially given your style, you can just do whatever the hell you want, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that character lends itself to watercolor. It really does. It just looks good that way.
Would you do Spiky Iceman?
I don't know. You saw my Iceman. I do the classic, but Yeah, I'll give it a try. Do you want to see one?
I would love to see one.
All right, I'll try to squeeze that in this month. I'll do like at least a con sketch version of it.
I get first dibs.
Okay.
It's calling it now.
Yeah, so speaking of Fallen Angel, just to backtrack a minute, once this mini is over, what's the future for the character?
I'm assuming what it's been. As you know, it started out at DC and it went about 20 issues, and then IDW did an ongoing that went to 33 issues before they changed to miniseries, and we seem to be doing one a year at this point. We did one last year with a crossover with Angel. And then a year later we did this one, so I'm assuming sometime in the next year we're doing another mini, and it's just going to keep going like that until I hear otherwise.
Okay, cool. So, don't give away the ending or anything, but is there a definite conclusion, or is there, like, stuff left dangling?
Well, there's always something left dangling, but there's a conclusion to the general arc, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean, it's a very... Yeah, it's a very final conclusion. I don't know where we're gonna go from here, but
that's awesome.
Peter did set up a 2-page thing at the end of it where it looks like, you know, it could go in a different direction, tune in next time kind of thing. But before that, there was a very definite ending, a very definite conclusion to the arc.
So we're hitting kind of like con season now. Are you gonna be in San Diego?
Unfortunately, I'm not going to make it. I'm doing a lot of stuff on the East Coast, just time and money constraints, mostly time. It's hard, you know, flying all the way out there. Plus, I have friends in L.A., and I just wouldn't want to stay there for weeks.
Hey, you can crash at my place for a little while.
Okay. Well, I got plenty of places to stay, except, you know, when I actually get to San Diego.
Oh, right. Sure. So what are you going to be doing on the East Coast then, this coming months?
A lot of it I already did. The next convention I'm doing now, I'm laying low for a while. I'm just doing New York Comic Con. I'm doing the thing in Allentown, Pennsylvania, too, I think it's July. And then New York Comic Con, and that's it. That's in October, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've already done a lot of small ones, like the Comic Geek Speak Super Show. I did Wild Pig event, like a bunch of the small stuff around here.
Dude, next time you're in the LA area, you have to sign at our store.
No, definitely. I told you that because I will definitely be visiting. I was kind of hoping it would be this summer, and I'm still holding out hope that I'll at least get out there, if not for San Diego, just to visit sometime this summer. And when I do, I'll give you advance notice, and we'll set something up. So that'll be great. Yeah.
Daniel, you've seen JK's work, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
I love Amazing. Our logo, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Jake, of course, yeah, JK did our Comics Dispatch logo.
I'll do a more polished one if that one was like a kind of a con sketch, but if you want something more polished, I promised you I'll do that.
Awesome.
I kind of like it the way it is, but.
Yeah, I like it too, but hey, if you want to even up it even cooler, I'll take it.
All right. I do have a question for you, JK. You mentioned that you did the Fallen Angel Illyria crossover.
Yes.
Is there any other type of crossover, like any character you'd like to work into a story with Fallen Angel or anything like that?
Absolutely, absolutely. Sam and Dean, Supernatural. I'd love to do a Supernatural Fallen Angel crossover. I think that'd be awesome.
I think those stories would work really well together. I was just curious because the way you drew Illyria, or you had Illyria in the book, it was just amazing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, I kept a lot. My studio was like covered with pictures of Aniaker and Aniaker as the character. I used lots of reference for that because I don't know, if you're doing a likeness, it should probably look as much like the person as you can get.
You know? Along that same vein, like you're a huge comic book fan too in general. So what is like? I know we throw this question at people all the time, and I'm sure you get it all the time too, but come on, man. What's your dream project?
Dream project. I don't. You know, it's probably going to be something really obscure. Do you mean like mainstream? Do you want me to like keep it like what superhero thing I'd like to work on?
Yeah, like yeah. What from the big two would you just love to tackle? Like either on an ongoing or just given like a really solid mini.
I would actually, you know what? I would love to do anything Marvel Cosmic.
Really?
Yeah. But I would like to take it like classic, because like that's the stuff I grew up on, like especially like the Adam Warlock stuff, the Starlin stuff from back in the day. That would be awesome to do. Barring that, let me think of something DC. It's hard to like, God, just anything from the big two would be great, to be honest. But I don't often think of dream projects. When I do, I'm usually thinking of like some obscure small press thing that I would love to see if I could do something different with, you know.
Well, what would that be?
Because everything. Well, it's going to be funny that I mentioned this, and maybe this is why I'm thinking about it. I mentioned I was working with Jesse Snyder, and he's working with Dynamite, I think it is, and bringing back Evil Ernie. And I used to love Evil Ernie back in the. Do you remember that title?
I am aware of it. I can't say I've ever read it, though.
That would be a dream to work on. Maybe it's because I just recently I read his first script. He like showed me the first script, and it was fucking awesome. And now I'm like that Evil Ernie fever.
Awesome, dude. What would be like, you know, for someone who's not familiar with the character, is there like a collection you could point them to, or?
I was just trying to think of that. Like while I was talking, I was trying to remember the name of the label that carried Evil Ernie. I believe it was, you know, it's like late 80s, early 90s stuff. So I think it was the same company that was doing the, you know, the Vampirella, the Lady Death, and all that stuff.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, I know. It's like it's been a long time since I thought about it. And the only title I really remembered from that I was reading regularly at the time was Evil Ernie. I'm Googling it now, I'll tell you.
Well, I mean, while you're doing that, speaking of just like, you know, how you want to do like, you know, like that. Who is it?
Chaos Comics. And then I guess Devil's Due had it for a while. I wasn't reading it then.
Oh, Devil's Due. I miss Devil's Due.
I don't. I'm still pissed.
Those poor guys.
I got away fine. I just did a cover that I never got paid for. That was just, you know, hundreds of dollars, not thousands like some people. But I got taken.
But, sorry, dude.
I still miss them. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, they lost everything. Like honestly, like I thought they had one of the best G.I. Joe runs ever. And then they lost that. And then they had Hack Slash, and then they lost that, and then they just kind of floundered, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess they had financial problems and people weren't getting paid, and that's had a lot to do with why they lost some of their titles. I know I heard the Hack Slash stories and they weren't pretty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Lots of people weren't getting paid, and it was, you know, I think that more than anything, the bad press from that hurt them.
Yeah. Speaking of indies, though, what are your, and considering, you know, you do mostly like awesome indie shit, what's your opinion on like this whole indie revolution that's going on right now, like through Image and stuff?
Oh, I'm thrilled. I mean, I don't know. Is that happening though? Is there an indie revolution?
Yeah, I think there is, man. I mean, working on the retail side. I mean, again, like I'm only one store, so I mean, I can't speak for the country, but
right.
I mean, there is definitely an indie revolution going on right now. Indies are selling phenomenally well. I mean, you did a Strange Science Fantasy piece that inspired you from that IDW issue.
Oh, yeah, Scott Moore stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, like that series. I mean, obviously, you know, your obvious books like Morning Glories, and then you got Blue Estate, and I mean, Undying Love from Tom Coker. I mean, there's something going on.
But that's great to hear. I mean, I've always been kind of like on the fringe, been reading that kind of stuff. So like from my perspective, I didn't notice other people were reading it. Really, it was always on my radar, so I didn't realize it was. It's great news. It's great to hear.
But I think it really falls into the hands of the retailer too to like present this information to their customers. This stuff, you know. But I mean,
it's true.
I think honestly, I think there's a little bit of superhero fatigue going on. I mean, you're always going to have guys that will buy, you know, Uncanny X-Men or Superman or Batman, no matter how good or how bad it is, just because they've been doing it their whole life, you know.
Yeah.
But to get people to invest in something indie, something different, I mean, it's a harder sell because they're a little more skeptical of it, and it's not something they're familiar with, you know.
Right.
But
right.
I mean, the recent indie stuff that's been coming out, you know, your series included, Fallen Angel, man, like it's been awesome. So I think it's kind of like curtailing the market a little bit, and at the same time, it's providing a great source for new readers to get into, because you know, the thing that turns some people away is they don't want to read Superman or Batman that has, you know, five decades worth of history that they don't know.
And too much baggage, yeah.
Yeah, and these indie books are providing them, you know, a source, an outlet to really get into comics. So, I mean, I think the time is ripe for people like you who, you know, are phenomenal with their work and have yet to, like, really, like, score that money book, you know?
Right. But, you know, that being said, if anybody, you know, if there's an editor out there listening right now from Marvel and DC, don't be afraid to call.
Absolutely, man. And, like,
I'm not going to turn down the work.
Yeah. But I mean, hopefully too, like this book you're doing with Arkea, like that's just another company that, you know, is really up and coming. I mean, they're local here in LA, so we sell their stuff up the wazoo in our store. I mean, plus right. Their store also has like a really great indie crowd, but they produce quality books and they're kind of with the times. Like they do a lot of stuff straight to graphic novel, like you said your work is. And that's what people want. You know, they want a collected edition. Like floppies are great, but it's the books themselves.
Yeah, well, they're focusing on not necessarily just comic book people. They're focused on, you know, this might be your first book. You know, that's kind of the mentality I'm getting from them. Like they want to appeal to everybody, and not everybody has the time or patience to dedicate their life to following a book in, you know, every month. They want to go to the store, buy a book, go home, read it, and be happy. And then the comic book mentality is such that we have to like. Our lives revolve around Wednesday. But not everybody's going to do that, you know? So yeah, the graphic novel form is definitely going to reach out to other people that might not necessarily have bought a comic before.
Yeah. It gives it a sense of longevity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know,
you get a full story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can read it in one sitting.
Yeah.
And speaking of, you know, like companies like Arkea, I mean, their packaging is just gorgeous, you know, like, their books are just like the production quality they put into it. We spoke with Mike Kennedy, the new publisher of Arkea on episode 3 of our show, I believe it was. And I mean, that's a company that's headed in the right direction.
Yeah. Oh, and not only that, I mean, nobody really comments about this that much, but their presentation at cons is amazing.
In what sense?
Well, I mean, they don't seem small press.
Oh yeah, no.
And that rivals Marvel. They got a big structure, you know, like almost like a labyrinth type thing with, you know, pictures on the wall and desks and people signing. It's just they go all out. I saw their display at C2E2, and it was like right by the door when you came in. It's just impressive. If I had never heard of Arkea, I would assume they were on the same level as Marvel or DC, you know.
Hopefully, they will be one day. Like.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed. Like, I don't think I can think of one thing I don't like from them, and I've read a lot of their stuff. Like, so what's your book called again to keep an eye for?
Everlast.
Awesome. And when's it set to come out?
That I don't know. I don't think it's in previews yet. That's why I'm being so vague about describing it.
Sure. No problem. Yeah, and then, but we can read Fallen Angel, the last issue, tomorrow.
Yes. Out there tomorrow.
Awesome, man. So where can fans go to like check out your work? Like you'd mentioned your Twitter, but like what's your account and like tell us your website and stuff.
Let's see. My website is jkwoodward.com and it's in desperate need of being updated. I think it's like a year behind. But if you want to see new stuff and more interesting stuff, I have a blog and I just don't talk that much on it. I just pretty much throw artwork up there when I do it. It's jkwoodward.blogspot.com. No, jkwoodwardart.blogspot.com. On Twitter, I'm JK_Woodward. And on Facebook, I'm JK Woodward or James Kenneth Woodward.
There you go, man. Dude, thanks for coming on. Any closing words?
I can't think of a thing.
All right, JK, thanks for talking with us, dude. I'm sure we'll have you on again.
All right, man. Thanks.
All right. Later. All right, so that does it for episode 5 of the Comics Dispatch. Look for new episodes every Tuesday at our site, comicattack.net, and send your emails to
Daniel@comicattack.net
and Andy@comicattack.net. Questions, requests, comments, send them our way. Next week, our special guest is a legend in the comic book world. We're going to have on Howard Chaykin, so definitely tune in for that. And yeah. Check out all our stuff on the site. Oh, and if you're seeing Thor, buy your tickets through our ad. I gotta say it. I'm sorry. don't consider me a sellout. We love you.